Good morning and welcome to our Tuesday morning chapel. Today we'll be using the Office of Prime. You'll find that beginning on page 108 in the front part of your hymn book. Page 108, the Office of Prime. We'll wait a few moments for others to come on in and get seated. So the Office of Prime, page 108. Please join me there in the versicles in Gloria Patri. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, I have sinned against you through my own fault in thought, word, and deed, for the sake of the suffering, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Have mercy on me, forgive me all my sin, and bring me to everlasting life. Amen. Scripture reading for today is taken from Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 24. These are the concluding words of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Please be seated. We occasionally hear of great storms and hurricanes that come in the United States, quite often along the Atlantic coast or in the Gulf Coast, down by the Gulf of Mexico. In 1900, so 122 years ago, in 1900, in Galveston, Texas, right near Houston, there was a vicious hurricane that came in. 7,000 buildings were destroyed. Just think of that, 7,000 buildings. 8,000 people died. 8,000 people died. 145 mile per hour winds they were recording. And many of them lasted for a minute straight. The gusts would just last for a minute straight. Just wiped the city almost off the map. There were so many people that died that because the floodwaters came in, they had no place to bury anybody. So they took huge barges and they piled the bodies on barges and sent them out into the Gulf of Mexico just to sit there until they had time for the waters to reside and then come back and bury the bodies. Six times more people and destruction than Hurricane Katrina, those of us that are old enough to remember that, about 17 years ago. Likewise, in Jesus' day, along the Mediterranean coast, it's not quite as common, but there could be great storms and hurricanes that would come in off the coast there as well. And so this imagery that Jesus draws upon for his parable that he teaches us is one that people in that day certainly understood as well. And where you built your home, if it was too close to a very dangerous spot, and on what you built your house, could have great significance for you and potentially for your life. I lived in a hurricane region down in southern Florida for a while, and there were houses there that were built probably three times stronger in places than you would find up here in the Midwest, simply to be able to survive hurricanes. And so at the conclusion of his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus uses this imagery to teach something about our spiritual houses, where we build our spiritual lives, if you will, and on what type of foundation will we place our spiritual lives. And that is a very crucial thing, is what he's getting at. Now, we need to understand something about this text. If you look at it closely, he's not talking about crass unbelief compared to belief. He's talking to Christians in both cases. Okay, in both cases, he's talking to Christians. He's addressing the temptation for professed Christians to hear the Word of God and to be sitting and listening to it and yet not apply it to their life, not really take it to heart, not really build their lives upon it, even though they audibly are listening to it. If you look at what he says that the one example is somebody who hears the Word but does not take it to heart. So, There is here a warning for all of us, pastors included. You know, the Bible has a lot of warnings for false prophets, for those who preach and teach falsely. But there are places where the Bible also warns about false hearing from inside of the church, false hearing and hearers, those who simply sit and listen audibly to the sounds and things, and yet do not let it penetrate down into the heart. Do not let it awaken inside of them repentance of their sins and bring themselves back to the cross where Christ has done such great things for us. So the great challenge to my personal faith in Christ is not necessarily a false prophet, although that's certainly a challenge too. But the greatest challenge really is something inside of me and my attitude, my apathy toward God and the things of his kingdom, right inside of my sinful flesh. And two hearers might be sitting right next to each other in a church service, and Jesus could be describing the one who's building his or her house on the rock of himself and what he's done, and the other might be sitting there listening, but not really carrying that out. Those who build their hope of heaven on what Jesus Christ himself has come to do, on the fact that he came into this world to be our Savior, to atone for all of our sins, to work out the plan of our salvation, to create a record of righteousness that could be held up before God for you on Judgment Day, those of us who build our spiritual houses on that is solid. That is something that will get you finally through the great hurricane of Judgment Day that's coming for someone someday. And that's what Jesus wants to make sure for all of us, is that that we have driven down into the bedrock of who he is with the foundation of our spiritual lives through true faith in him, that the Holy Spirit works in us to cause us to have this steadfast faith that will get us through not only the little storms of this life, but also the big storm that's ultimately coming. The last thing he wants is for anybody who is part of his church, his visible church, to suffer this great fall that he's describing for those who build their house on sand, maybe on themselves and how great they think they are and so on. As a parish pastor, you talk to pastors, they see members of their congregations go through a lot of very difficult things. They have to deal with different family problems and marital issues and especially health issues and things for their members. And all of those are kind of like little miniature storms that hit us in life. And one thing pastors will tell you is the members who seem to really get through the little storms the best are the ones who are typically in church the most often and really paying attention to the Word of God and absorbing it down into their heart and into their lives. And that's a little miniature picture then for us of the greater storm of Judgment Day that's coming and the day that we leave this life. And your loving Savior, who's come into this world to take you ultimately to heaven, wants to make sure that your faith is founded deeply down into him and his grace and the wonderful mercy he has come to show you. I want to close today by reading you something from one of Bethany's previous professors. I read this in chapel a number of years ago. We had a professor here on campus by the name of Mark Harsted, wonderful man, taught religion here. And he had a battle with cancer that finally took his life about this time of year. I think it was about 7 years ago. And I remember his wife said to me after, when I was at their house one night talking to him, and she said, "I just don't know how anybody can go through this without having faith in Christ." And those who are blessed to have this faith really often ask that question. How in the world can people go through the troubles that there are in the world, especially facing death without Christ? But I want to read to you a letter from Professor Harsted that he wrote to us faculty members before he died, just a month or so before he died. I'm just going to read a couple paragraphs. He says, "It's interesting to reflect on the content we teach from the perspective of the hospital bed. The important thing to note is that the content of my academic teaching of religion is precisely what I think about now and what sustains me in my faith. Finally, we have hope and live in anticipation of the resurrection. We know of a sleep in Jesus' name from which we will be awakened by the voice of God on the last day to find fullness of joy in the presence of God and his saints." So your religion classes and your other classes where spiritual matters come up, let's keep in mind that that's all there intended to keep us firmly grounded in this wonderful Savior who came into the world to ultimately take us to heaven. And may God continue to grant us faith to build on Christ and him alone, the solid rock. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. Let us continue then with the responsory on the bottom of page 108. And please rise. O Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon us. O Lord Jesus, seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy upon us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. O Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon us. Arise, O Christ, and help us, and deliver us for your name's sake. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, bright Son of the world, shine upon my spirit and drive away the night of sin, that I may walk in your holy light all my life and even forevermore. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in them the fire of your love. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in them the fire of your love. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord Almighty order this day and all our doings in his peace. Amen.